All right. So I want to talk about a very fundamental topic that comes up in many contexts in Sefer Vayikra. It's relevant to Karbanos. It's also very important for the basic meaning and purpose of tefillah, of davening. So it comes out in Parshas Tzav in the context of the prohibition to eat blood. So it says, so that this isser of eating blood is interestingly tucked into the context of Karbanos, and it's together with another prohibition of chelev, of the forbidden fat. So it says, "Daber b'nei Yisrael, ko chelev shor v'chesev a'ez lo sochelu." Any fat of an animal, of oxen, sheep, or goats, you cannot eat. V'chelev nevela v'chelev trefa, yaseh l'chol malacha v'chol sochaluhu. If an animal dies, you also can't eat it. You can use the fat, you can't eat it. And the punishment for eating chelev is kares. Then it says, v'chol dam lo sochlu, v'chol moshvo seichem, la'of la'behema. You can't eat any blood, whether it's blood from a bird or blood from an animal. Kol nefesh asher tochal kol dam. Any person that eats blood, v'nichrasa nefesh imeh meha, they also have the very severe punishment of kares. So what is this severe prohibition? Why is blood not kosher? Why can't you eat blood? So, and it comes up several places in Chumash. Let's take a look at a couple down here. It's very severe. If you look in the orange box in the middle of the page, this is talking about, this is later in Sefer Vayikra. If you look on the right side, the orange on the right, any man of the house of Israel, ish ish mi beis Yisrael, min hagera gar besocham, asher yochal kol dam, anyone, any Jew who eats blood, v'nasati fanai b'nefesh ochel ezes adam, I will set my attention upon the soul that eats the blood, v'hichrati osam mikerev ama, I will cut him off, again, kares. And then it gives a reason, ki nefesh abasar badamhu, the soul of the flesh is in the blood. The blood is connected to life. V'ani nasativ lachem al mizbeach. I gave it to you to be placed on the altar, l'chaper al nafsho seichem, to atone for you. Ke adam hu b'nefesh shechaper. For it is the blood that atones for the soul. Meaning, it sounds like the thing that gives life to something will atone for the life of a person. So then that the last pasuk in that box, Alkina Marti Livnei Yisrael, Kol Nefesh Mikem Lo Sochal Dam. Therefore I have told Bnei Yisrael, meaning it sounds like what it's saying, since you can use it for karbanos, for sacrificial purposes, for atonement, therefore I said, but you can't eat it. Gera Garbis Sochem Lo Yochal Dam. A stranger also can't eat dam. Okay. So this phrase, by the way, this phrase of I'll put my face, v'nasatias panai, I will pay attention, negative attention to someone who eats blood. There's only one other prohibition the Torah says this about. Does anybody happen to know? V'nasati panai. God's gonna pay attention to you in a very negative way. It's regarding the prohibition of molech, someone who sacrifices the life of their child for avodah zarah. So eating blood is serious. So what is this prohibition to eat? Why can't we eat blood? What's wrong with it, right? You're allowed to eat the meat of an animal. Why can't you eat the blood? So the Rambam has a pshat, first the red box on top. Vidaki Hadam. So this is from the perek in the third part of Mor Nevuchim, the Guide to the Perplexed, where the Rambam expounds his position that we've discussed in our parshas here, and it's pretty famous that why are all karbanos? What's the purpose of karbanos? He said it's to eradicate the concepts of idolatry, of Avodah Zarah, from our hearts. It's they worship the animals, so we shech the animals. So blood is the same type of theme. As Hayim Etami Ma'od Beinei Hatzava. So Tzava is a some type of star worshiping cult of Avodah Zarah. So that the Rambam says elsewhere in Mor Nevuchim that they lived in the time of Avraham Avinu, or they were prevalent. They probably existed in the Rambam's time too. So they, even they, if you look in the Avodah Zarah, how to worship idols for dummies, there's a chapter on blood. And what does it say about blood? It says it's super impure. Blood is bad news, it says. However, in Kol Zeh Hayu Ochlan Oso, nevertheless, they would eat it. They thought that it was the sustenance of demons. She'achal Oso, Misha Ach, and once someone ate it, Kavar Hishtate Fim Hashedim, that joins you with the demons. V'yuhu, V'yodiyuhu Hasidos. They'll bring him into the loop, and he will have insight of the future, just like the demons do, if you eat the blood. Meaning, it's like blood is poisonous. It's really risky to eat it, but it may be worth it. That was like what the Avodah Zarah for Dummies said. Ubaha Torah Ashlema. So the perfect Torah comes Liodeha to those who know it, meaning to the Jews. Lahasser Elu Hacholim Hanemanim. It's to counteract, to remove these entrenched ideas that people in society were eating blood. V'asra achilas adam. It prohibited the consumption of blood, not because there's anything wrong with blood in and of itself, but it's part of this nonsense of Avodah Zarah. So it's distancing us from this ridiculousness. So that's the Rambam. Ramban has a totally different approach about blood. Hamash, and he in general, he disagrees with the Rambam's approach to karbanos. He says it has nothing to do with idolatry. Karbanos are intrinsically meaningful. And he says the same thing about the prohibition of eating blood. Hamashma minakasuv hazeh sheyomar sheyaser lanu hadam ibne shenasin lanu lios al hamizbeach lechaper al nosher sein. He says the reason we can't eat blood is because of what the Torah says. Because the purpose, we are allowed to use it for sacrificial purposes, for kapara, for atonement. V'ra'oi shenafarish b'tam yisuro. But now we should still explain why you can't eat it. Ki Hashem bara kol nevraim atachtonim l'tzarech ha'adam. God created everything in the world for man to use. Ki hu levado b'hem makir esboro. Because we have dominion over all the creatures because we're the only ones that recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'afal pichein l'hiter lahem b'achila mitchila rak hatzomeach lo ba'alei nefesh. Originally, before Noach, from Adam until Noach, till the flood, they were only allowed to eat, they were vegetarians. They could not eat animals. Mikasher hayaham b'mabul, and when Noach was in the mabul, shenitzolu b'schuso shel Noach, and human beings were, and not only human beings, but the animals were saved because of the merit of Noach. The hikriv mam carbon, v'hayah l'ratzono, and he brought a carbon from the animals, and it was pleasing to Hashem. Hitir lahem hashchita. Then he permitted them to slaughter animals for food as well. Before Noach, you couldn't slaughter animals. V'ine hitir gufa mashir hu chai b'avor ha'adam. He allowed their bodies, which the of these living creatures for man. We now are allowed to eat them. Shiyila naso letzarch l'shadim, for him to benefit for his needs. Veshitiya nefesh shebahem lechapara l'adam, becrave them in front of his barach. But the blood, the nefesh, the soul, which is the life, is dependent on the blood. That is still reserved for atonement. Lo sheyochilu. They can't eat the blood. So basically, what the Ramban is saying, and we're going to see what this means in a moment, Ramban's saying that really we weren't allowed to take the life of any animal before Noach. You cannot take animal life. But since Noach saved the animals, therefore he was able to be, right, they would have all perished in the flood if not for him. So therefore he got the right to use them for his benefit and to bring them as karbanos. But the blood, which was reserved for kapara, that remained forbidden. So what's super interesting, so first of all, Ramban is explaining that blood is intrinsically, I mean, it's not just, we're not, you just can't, it's not a matter of blood is not kosher because we have to distance ourselves from avodah zarah. Nothing to do with that. Blood intrinsically is not something we're not allowed to eat because it's connected to the life. We weren't allowed to eat the blood or the meat of animals. It turns out we're allowed to eat the meat, but the blood, we never were permitted to. So what's interesting is he puts it in the context of eating the meat of animals. If you look at the orange box on the left, it talks about, so there's a parallel to this in, so this is B'nai Noach, right? This is for non-Jews. They used to not be able to eat meat, then they were allowed to. Jews, it's the same thing. In the Midbar, we were only allowed to eat meat of karbanos. You weren't allowed to just grill a hamburger. You weren't allowed to have a Memorial Day barbecue or Yom HaTzimut barbecue in the Midbar. Unless you're bringing a carbon. If you're bringing shlamim, then you can make a barbecue. But just without bringing a carbon to eat meat, it's called basar taiva, to eat meat just because you desire meat, was not allowed. It was considered like murder. Take a look, very dramatically. Take a look at that orange box on the left. Ish ish mi beis Yisrael asher yishchat shor ochesev o'ez b'machne. If you shecht an ox, a goat, sheep or goat, asher o asher yishchat min chutz l'machne. Whether you do it in the camp or out of the camp. Vel pesach o moe lo havia. Lakriv karbon l'ashem. You don't bring it as a carbon by the Mishkan. You just shecht it because you want to eat it. Dam yecha shev leishahu. That's going to be considered blood for that person. Dam shafach. You spill blood. V'nichras ha'ishahu mekerav emo. That person is getting kares. So meaning, taking the life of an animal for a Jew, for just to eat meat because you wanted meat, not for a carbon, was considered, you could not, it was considered murder. The life not only of human beings is sacred, the life of animals is sacred as well. So we're painting a picture. We're going to get to what this means in 1 second. So this is what this box in the bottom left, the green, is Rav Soloveitchik posing this question. The implication is clear. Whoever kills an animal for non-sacramental purposes is guilty of bloodshed, of murder. Shvichas damim applies. It says that right here. It says shvichas damim, which is murder, applies equally to slaughter of man and animal. Under a certain aspect, the life of an animal is placed on an equal plane with that of man. Why is that? So this is where Rav Soloveitchik comes in. If you turn the page, this is from the Emergence of Ethical Man. And basically what he says is that, and this is what resonates very deeply with me, is that life is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He talks about that in the first box in the upper left, and then he goes on the one on the bottom left. And what does that mean? He gives it to us. What is the nature of the gift? Is it a gift at all? Rav Soloveitchik says it's not a gift. Take a look at that long paragraph in the bottom left. A new concept evolves. All life is considered by Judaism as belonging to God. He lends us life. He has exclusive absolute ownership rights to all living creatures, to everything that has been redeemed from lifelessness and dead matter and raised to the plane of life. I mean, he's given everything that lives, whether it's man or animal. He gave us that life, and he keeps it firm. He still owns it. God holds every living being in his private ownership and exercises full dominion over it. Even as the whole universe is held by God, there is a unique juridic relationship of possession and dominion to life. Meaning, God owns everything, right? The moons of Jupiter belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The farthest galaxies belong to him. But life, he retains a special ownership, a juridic relationship. What's juridic relationship? Meaning a legal, there's a contract here. What does it say? Living beings enjoy only the rights of tenancy. They do not exercise dominion over their holdings. This tenancy may become extinguished at any time. God could take back our life. He has the right to do that at any time. The freeholder may be disposed of his temporary rights. We're a freeholder, right? We didn't pay for this. We don't deserve this. There's no contractual legal protection of the tenant against the will of the owner. Meaning, right, there's this whole thing, even squatters, right? This is in the news. You squat in a house in New York City for, 30 days? The owner can't evict you. So we have no such right with our life. God retains ownership. It's totally his. The latter has the sole right of possession and dominion, and while he granted his creature some lease on life, he did rent it to us in some way, he did not relinquish juridical power and control over it. He has full control. We owe him his allegiance. So now, what if we deviate from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon? We do something wrong. We really forfeit our whole right to life in terms of din, right? If you look at it totally objectively. So what's the point here? So to kind of summarize this, so that's why we're not allowed to take, that's why we're not allowed to murder someone, right? Life belongs to God. When are we allowed to take life? We're allowed to take life for karbanos, for sacrificial purposes, because if we recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is who endowed us with life, and life belongs to him, when we give a life to him by taking life for him, that's allowed, because we're acknowledging that he's the one who gave it. So Rav Soloveitchik makes, if you look at the chart here, he makes the radical suggestion. If you look at the this chart, looks complicated, but it actually clarifies. So there's the type of life that one could take, and there's a purpose of taking a life, right? So if it's sacrificial, you're allowed, right? If it's carbon, you're allowed to kill an animal, because why are you allowed? Oh, animals, the life of animals belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But since you're giving it to him, he allowed us to take the life for that purpose. And he says, even really, we should be able to give our own lives to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the idea of human sacrifice. If he gave us our life, we could give it back to him, theoretically. But and that's what the pagans believe. But they didn't. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also gave human life sanctity, that we appreciate life as precious. That forbids us from doing so. Even theoretically, sacrificing our own lives to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also something that would be allowed. But so if you look there, that's why this left column of sacrificial, right, with the human meaning in theory. We could give our lives to HaKadosh Baruch Hu too, because that acknowledges the source of our life. But we can't do that because of our ethics, our ethos. But regarding animals, we don't have such a thing, right? We are allowed to give up animals to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we'll come back to this in one moment briefly. And murder, why can't you murder? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives life, you have no right to take it, and it's the same with your own life. You don't really own your own life. You're not allowed to take your own life. You're not allowed to jeopardize. You're not allowed to take risks with your own life, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu never gave you your life for that purpose. You don't own your life. And now we get to blood. So if you look at the chart, Before Noach, or you have B'nai Noach and you have B'nai Yisrael. So for non-sacrificial purposes, can you, let's say you want to eat meat, right? You're allowed to eat meat. So before Noach, the halacha was, between Adam and Noach, right? Let's say Shais, the son of Noach, he was not allowed to take the life of an animal. He was allowed to bring it for a carbon, but he was not allowed to do it for eating. So even though it was, it was considered murder. After Noach, right, after he saved the animals, so B'nai Noach were allowed to eat meat. They weren't allowed to eat any meat. They couldn't eat Aver Min HaChai. So that's why it's a small green check mark. But that was more like a concession. But really, we shouldn't be able to take the life of an animal to eat it, a Ben Noach. And then if you go to B'nai Yisrael, before we got to Eretz Yisrael, when we're in the Midbar, as we said before, you weren't allowed to make a Yom HaTzmut barbecue if you weren't bringing a carbon in the Midbar. Why? Because taking the life of an animal, as it says, it's called Shvichas Damim. Life is given to us and to animals by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're not even allowed to take the life of an animal. But because, and it says this in, if you go back to page 1, the yellow box on the right, in Devarim, and finally when we're ready to enter Eretz Yisrael, it says we're allowed to eat meat if we just want to eat. If we can, in the Pasuk Chaf there, Ki Yarchiv Hashem Alekach Es Gevulcha, when God gives you, enlarges your boundary, and Yamarta Ochla Basar, you say, I want to eat meat. Your soul desires to eat meat, right? You're hungry for meat. You can eat it even if you just want it. Why? Because let's say you live in Tzfas, and it's quite a trip, especially if you don't have a car. Even with a car, it's a trip. But you live in Tzfas, or you live in Meiron, and you have to go all the way to Yerushalayim just to eat a hamburger. It's very impractical. So because of that, I mean, that's what the Torah is saying. It's because of the inconvenience. Therefore, you're allowed to eat it. But so that's a special heter. That's, you see, the check mark. Once we go into Eretz Yisrael, it's a small check mark. You're allowed to eat meat now. You're allowed to take the life of an animal to eat it, but there are a lot of conditions. It has to be shechted precisely okay. You are not allowed to mix it with milchiks. Right? There's a lot of details about how you treat the meat. So that's why it's a small check. We're allowed to take the life, but there are very specific circumstances. But the blood remains forbidden. Why? Because taking the life and of an animal to eat the blood, you're not allowed to do that because the life, even the life of an animal, is holy, it's sacred, and that issa remains. So I think what I find very moving about this whole picture, first of all, it's beautiful how based on the Ramban. I mean, most of this is Salvechik, but the connection with Noach, I didn't see in him. That's what the Ramban mentions, that. I think this full picture of, right, all of these different parts of the Torah, the when they were in the Midbar, when they were in Eretz Yisrael, before Noach, after Noach, Karbanos, it all fits into this beautiful idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us life, but not fully. He gives us he's lending it to us. It's like leased to a certain extent, but we don't have permission to do whatever we want with it. We can take life in very specific contexts, but we can't just do it wantonly, and we can't eat blood. For carbon, yes, but not for anything else. Now, I said, this is just the one part I want to add about tefillah, we said that really even we should, human sacrifice is understandable in this context, right, even at least from one angle. And although, of course, that is against the Torah, but there is one context where we do say that we give our life over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is tefillah. If you look at the very last page, and this is applied to Karbanos as well, right? This is the idea of Karbanos. We're not going to go into the Ramban on the third page, but we saw this in the Parsha class. The Ramban says that the point of a carbon, this is his intrinsic meaning of the carbon, right? It's not to extinguish avodah zarah from our hearts. Point of a carbon is that once you do an avera, you should give up your life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we can't do that. So we take the life of an animal and give that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we should see the blood of the animal and the life of the animal and the parts of the animal that go on the Mizbeach. We should look at it as if we gave our own life back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we forfeited it on some level. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik kind of explains in the last page, and he explains how this connects to tefillah. So you could look at the underline. The requirement to sacrifice, bring karbanos, flows from the attribute of judgment, midas hadin. God demands the human burnt offering. I mean, that's really, we should give up ourselves if we go keneged ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Din jealously guards the absolute uniqueness of God and demands the annulment of finite, independent being. So don't worry about the fancy words. We'll look at the next couple of lines. God will not tolerate the arrogant man. Man who has become, meaning the arrogant man, if someone says, I don't care what God says, right? If I want to do this, I'm doing this, right? Man who has become alienated from his creator through a horrifying ontic pride. You can look at the word ontic as a key word here. On the bottom, relating to or having real being. I mean, it's the biggest chutzpah for us to say, like, that our life belongs to us. We could do whatever we want. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us everything. So a man who has become alienated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this way must mount to the altar of God. The revelation of the Akedah, imperative, suddenly erupts from the silent twilight of transcendence, addressing the guardian who has betrayed his task and misappropriated his master's work. So this is an allusion. He doesn't go into this here, but what does this guardian mean? It means that we are guardians of the life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're not owners of our life. We're only guardians of our life. But we betrayed our task, right? We were supposed to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He gave us life to obey him. He didn't give us life to go do whatever we want and feel like we're the boss. We misappropriated what he gave us. So build an altar, arrange the wood, kindle the fire, take the knife to slaughter your existence for me. This is the command of the awesome God who suddenly appears out of an absolute separation. So now, meaning every carbon is essentially an akedah. We're really giving our own life, but then at the last moment, the ram comes in. The last moment, we put an animal on the mizbeach instead. But the same thing it says, Rav Soloveitchik, happens every time we daven. This approach is the very foundation of prayer. Man hands himself over to God. He approaches the awesome God, expressing this movement in sacrifice and binding of oneself. Meaning, we should feel, when we come in front of the Master of the Universe in tefillah, that our existence is totally, we're indebted to him, it still belongs to him. If we have deviated from his will, then we should have the feeling, should fill us, that at this moment we're giving our life back to him when we stand in front of him in tefillah. And like, we should feel like that, we want to make that sacrifice of our life to him. Of course, we're never going to do that. We're never going to put ourselves on the mizbeach. But the feeling, the attitude, the emotion is, it has to be there. And it really, it's rooted in appreciating the life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the precious life that he gives us, and recognizing that he's the one who gave it to us. So that's a little bit of the picture of Dom. I hope that gives you some insight into the different partios of Karbanos that we'll be reading next few weeks. Thanks for joining me, everyone.